NBC Monitor News on the hour. Here's Lou Wood.
President Johnson and Mexican President Gustavo Diaz Ordaz drove through crowds of wildly cheering Mexicans and Americans today in the border towns of El Paso, Texas, and Juarez, Mexico. Their joint visit marks the end of a century-old dispute over a tract of land known as the Chamizal, 437 acres in the Rio Grande Riverbed that for many years was part of El Paso. Today it was officially turned over to Mexico. Speaking at a majestic new monument on Cordova Island in the Rio Grande, Johnson used the opportunity to talk of America's commitments.
On other occasions, I have said that it is important to the peace of the world that both our friends and our enemies believe that we in the United States mean what we say. Here in El Chamizal, we have honored our pledged word, and we will continue to honor all of our commitments.
President Johnson speaking at the Chamizal ceremony in Juarez, Mexico. The bodies of six persons, four of them children, were found in a Davenport, Iowa home today, apparently asphyxiated by gas fumes from a furnace. Police say the dead were the four children of Mr. and Mrs. Roger Feisner and an aunt and maternal grandmother who were caring for the youngsters while the Feisners were away on a business trip. Police believe the furnace went out during a record snowfall in Davenport Thursday night. Most of the victims were found in bed. The double space launching announced by the Soviet Union today heightened speculation that a Soviet space spectacular may be planned to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution next month. Moscow announced in quick succession the launching of two Earth satellites, one of them in an orbit closely resembling that of spaceship Soyuz 1, which crashed and killed a veteran cosmonaut last April. There was nothing in the announcements to indicate either spacecraft was manned, although a report in a London newspaper said one of the ships was big enough for a five-man crew. In the United States, NASA says that report is sheer speculation. Soviet officials also announced more details of the anniversary celebrations that open next Thursday. They said only communist China has ignored the invitation to take part. Chinese Albania has sent a rejection. The events will start Thursday with the unveiling of a new monument to Lenin at the Kremlin, and close November 7th with a traditional parade in Red Square. Meanwhile, North Vietnam's Premier Ho Chi Minh has written an article in the Moscow newspaper Pravda praising his country's alliance with the Soviet Union. A report from Jay Axelbank, NBC News, Moscow.
Ho Chi Minh today accused the United States of trying to exterminate the people of North Vietnam. In an article published in the Soviet Party newspaper Pravda, Ho Chi Minh said American planes are bombing densely populated areas. He declared that schools, churches, hospitals, and even dams were being destroyed. Charging that the U.S. war effort was more barbarous than Hitler's blitzkrieg, Ho Chi Minh defiantly expressed confidence in ultimate victory. Bombs and shells, he said, would not shake North Vietnam's patriotic feelings, and with the help of the Soviet Union and China, North Vietnam would emerge victorious. Ho Chi Minh's tone was bitter and uncompromising. Taken at face value, it gave little ground for hope that he is in any mood to listen to peace appeals from President Johnson. Jay Axelbank, NBC News, Moscow.
For the fifth straight day, U.S. jets have bombed Hanoi, the capital of North Vietnam. The continuing series of airstrikes is one of the heaviest of the war. Communist broadcasts say five U.S. planes were shot down in today's raids. There has been no report yet from the American command in Saigon. However, U.S. headquarters did report that a MiG jet was shot down over Hanoi yesterday in a furious dogfight. Three U.S. planes were lost Friday. In Saigon, a special military court convicted and sentenced to death a former provincial chief for corruption. The trial came on the eve of the arrival of Vice President Humphrey in Vietnam. He will attend the inauguration of President-elect Thieu. Security precautions are strict. Communist broadcasts say nothing the U.S. or South Vietnam can do will ensure Humphrey's safety. More in a moment.
When you're shopping in a retail store, have you ever noticed the white sign with the five-pointed star and the blue circle and the words Union Store? This is the Union Store card of the RCIA, the Retail Clerks International Association. It signifies that through mutual agreement between store management and the RCIA, retail store workers are assured certain on-the-job benefits, which help achieve a high standard of living. For more information about this strong, progressive union, write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036.
The auto workers are bargaining this afternoon with Chrysler, their next potential strike target. They want contract terms as good as those in the Ford settlement with the UAW. Once again, the major news story at this hour, President Johnson and Mexican President Díaz Ordaz are greeted enthusiastically in Juarez, Mexico, as the United States transfers the disputed Chamizal territory back to Mexico. Lou Wood, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour when the Retail Clerks International Association brings you NBC Monitor News.
On the conversation station, WNBC AM New York.
I laugh.
Oh, I thought it was Mark.
My husband, you do.
I'm going to go see it again.
They're all talking about Harold Pinter's new hit play, The Birthday Party. It's at the Booth Theater.
The temperature is 55 degrees and it's partly cloudy. Here are the metropolitan area headlines. City Council President Frank O'Connor has sent a letter to Governor Rockefeller offering his wholehearted support in the campaign for passage of the proposed $2.5 billion transportation bond issue. At the same time, O'Connor cautioned that campaign literature calling for the issue's passage raises as many questions as they answer. He urged the governor to reveal detailed plans for the way the money raised will be spent. An estimated 200 persons picketed City Hall today protesting against a proposed gun control law for New York City. Spokesman said the law would not deter crime, only harass gun collectors and sportsmen. Nicholas Despina, the owner of a service station in Orange, New Jersey, has filed suit to halt the practice of giveaways by oil companies. He contends they violate New Jersey's statutes covering lotteries and games of chance. Nassau County opened its new culture center in Old Bethpage today. It features pre-Civil War farmhouses, churches, and inns. It is operated by the Nassau County Historical Museum. Mrs. John F. Kennedy left New York today for a vacation in Cambodia. There she's expected to visit the 1,000-year-old ruins of Angkor. A large throng of admirers was on hand at the airport when the late president's widow left. The temperature 55 degrees, partly cloudy in New York. The humidity is 34%. The barometer is steady, wind from the west at 8 miles per hour. Mostly sunny, breezy, and cool this afternoon. Temperatures ranging from 50 to 55 degrees. Clear and cold tonight, lowest in the mid to upper 30s. Mostly sunny and continued cool on Sunday, highest in the mid 50s. And the outlook for Monday is increasing cloudiness and milder. Now repeating the present temperature, it's 55 degrees. And that's the Metropolitan News to this moment. Next news at 5 with Robert Gorowski. Bulletins are broadcast at once.
You're on the go with Monitor, your music and information center.
Want a change of scene from that same dull routine? Today, why not take in a good gas station? Citgo. At Citgo, you may even start to feel good about waiting at a gas station. You'll get to know your car a little better. Get to plan a family trip. Get to treat yourself and the kids to a few nicer, more relaxing minutes while we treat your car to the finest products and service on the road. So if you're tired of the usual run-of-the-pump service, Citgo should be music to your ears. Citgo, you may not want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
Don't move, just leave your dial now. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Monitor.
Hello, this is Ed McMahon with the What's Happening sound of Monitor 67. Ahead, Monitor's theater critic, Leonard Probst, will be talking with the rarely interviewed Sandy Dennis, star of the new Broadway play, Daphne in Cottage D. First, Monitor music.
He just happened yesterday, yet it seems he came my way before. Darling, I swear I felt your lips on mine at least 1,000 times or more. Darling, we walked in the sun and we laughed when it rained on our dreams. lifetime of a new room.
Dana, a lifetime loving you.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
101.
Actress Sandy Dennis couldn't be called a performer in the traditional mold. She doesn't like publicity, and she doesn't know herself what she's going to do next on stage. But she's a star, and she was interviewed for Monitor by our critic, Leonard Probst.
Sandy Dennis is back on Broadway. She's now 30 years old and is a major star in both theater and films. Her private life is just that, very private. Miss Dennis rarely agrees to being interviewed. She isn't shy. She just doesn't like the way they turn out. Sandy, how do you feel about an interview after you see it in print?
Well, that depends on the person who did it, and it also depends on the article they write. And very often I'm very pleased. And other times, of course, I'm not pleased, because I feel very often writers who do interviews have a desire, or they take what a person says out of context. In other words, you say something, but we all know if you place it somewhere else, it's liable to be very, you know, destructive. And I resent that kind of thing, and because, first of all, I don't think people should, be interested in reading that kind of thing. I think if an individual is exciting, then you take them at that. If they're not, you also take them at that. You don't have to force it, you know, you don't have to make something out of them that they aren't. And I particularly resent it when they really lie very often. I mean, they will literally make up things.
Well, is there any specific lie about you that you want to get corrected?
Oh, on thousands, I suppose, but now that you pin me down at the moment, I can't think of any.
All right, let's get into context and into what you're doing right now. You were on Broadway in a two-character play, Daphne and Cottage D, and as you said earlier, you're never called by your name in the play. I think it's fair to say that the play is about a woman who is an alcoholic who is suicidal, who meets up with another damaged person, a doctor in this case. What led you to take a play such as this?
Well, first of all, in looking back now, I would say that the thing that I liked most about this play, I liked the humor in it. It's odd that when you describe it as a suicidal alcoholic meeting with another damaged person, I must say that the thing that I liked the most about it was the humor. And opening night, there was not so much of that there, because we had a very stiff audience opening night. And now that it's over, the pressure is over for us and for everybody, it's a much more enjoyable thing, you know. But there is a great deal of very funny things in it, and there are more when it's a cooperative audience. But once in a while, you don't, you know.
One of the things you do on stage is much of the humor, it seems to me, comes from pauses and unusual use of the hands or face. And it translates into great humor in the audience, I know. Do you work all these out?
No, I never think about them. And if you were to come and see me 7 days in a row, nothing is ever the same ever. That's one of my bad things. And it's also a good thing, depending on how you look at it. It's never the same. Because if I set out and say, well, now I will read this line this way the next night, if one night I get a tremendous laugh and the next night I say I'm going to do it exactly the same way, nothing happens. So I find when I act, I have to do it just moment to moment to moment. I have an overall outlook, an overall character, But I find the humor also when the theater there's nothing like an audience. Because audiences are the most spectacular things in the world. They really are. Once you're bitten by that, you just can't get away from it. You know, there's nothing like it.
How does an opening night audience of stiffs, as you put it earlier, differ from the succeeding night audience?
Well, it's a big difference. An audience is a very important element. And when a group of people get together and 75% of them are dressed up and are sitting on their hands, there's no way. You can't deal, you know. So you stop dealing, and in a sense, it cuts you off. And that's something an actor has to learn not to do. In other words, then you go on for your own enjoyment, not for theirs anymore. I would never go to an opening night myself unless I had to, unless I was a reviewer or something, because they look at each other. They don't really care about, you know. I mean, they're dressed up in the front row and in the second, and I resent that kind of theater, you know.
I ask you one question, just out of the blue. How many cats and dogs do you have?
Well, we have 23 cats now, and we have 6 dogs in the country. I have always loved animals. I grew up with animals, and I can't stand to see them out on the street. And all these animals are picked up off the street, and they're a wild, funny group.
What do you name some of them?
Oh, my word. Brenda Beulah, Ralph, they all have people's names. And we also find good homes. That's why we don't give so many away, because if we don't find really good homes, we just keep them, you know, because we feel that we can do the best by them. But it's getting to be quite a load now. And I'd love to get some good homes for some of them so that we could get some more.
Sandy Dennis, a lady who takes in stray cats and stray dogs and an occasional critic. Leonard Probst, NBC News, New York. That's it from Broadway.
Correct time, 17 minutes after the hour. With a lineup ahead that includes Petula Clark, the Sandpipers, and Peter Nero. So don't go away. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Lee Leonard, and I'd like to know how you spend your afternoons from 1 till 4. Maybe, just maybe, if you're my kind of people, I'll invite you to spend them with me on WNBC. First of all, you have to like to laugh. Secondly, I'll expect you to be a trifle irreverent. Then you have to enjoy silly games and serious conversation. I like people who are hip to little-known facts like, who played Humphrey Bogart's mother in Dead End? Sometimes I'll want you to stump me with your own questions. So, if you think you qualify, call me, Lee Leonard, on Plaza 7, 8866. And we'll see what kind of arrangements we can make.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, AM, New York.
Ed McMahon here for Monitor 67. As we continue with Petula Clark singing about her fancy dancing man.
Fancy man, dancing man, who do you think you're putting on? Understand, fancy man, you're nothing when the music's gone. But as long as there's a beat to keep you moving, move and let yourself go free. And if that's the way to keep you fancy man,
5 years ago, a great discovery for acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas was introduced to doctors. Now it's your turn.
Well, it's about time. I have indigestion and heartburn whenever I eat too well.
Think of the future. It's going to be swell, thanks to Digel.
Digel?
That's the name. Look, this is your plain white antacid tablet. It neutralizes excess acid. Digel's different. It's white and yellow. The white layer neutralizes excess acid, and the yellow layer contains simethicone, an extra ingredient that helps break up stomach gas, too. Digel comes in tablets and liquid at all drug counters.
Someone in your family have a muscle strain? Try the Mustero massage. This exclusive therapy relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain, stimulates circulation as it speeds warming relief to pain and stiffness. Mustero relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain. Mustero.
Now the Sandpipers with Cuando Salí de Cuba, translation, When I Left Cuba. At the Monitor Sports Desk, here's Jim Simpson with some observations on the not-so-gentle sport of skiing, both amateur and expert, as it shapes up for the coming snow season.
This is Jim Simpson, speaking for Monitor Sports. New York's International Ski and Sports Show is already over, and November is nearly here. In other words, winter is on its way and is not far away, and for hundreds of thousands, it means ski weekends and vacation trips. For tens of thousands, it means a new experience, learning how to ski. And for thousands, it means a broken leg, arm, collarbone, or just a twisted knee. Skiing also means cold feet and hands, stretch pants stretched over beautiful girls, and wild, heavy Tyrolean sweaters and caps on outdoorsy-looking men. For those who like the snow but none of its discomforts, ski time means hot-butted rum, glue vine, roaring fireplaces, and picture windows from which to watch in warm comfort those who are braving and sometimes conquering the slopes. There are new ski fashions, there are new skis, there are new ski resorts, and all are extremely saleable. America, with more recreation time than ever, is looking for ways to have fun the year round, and skiing no longer belongs to solely to New Englanders or to those who live in the Rockies. Skiers head for slopes from all over the country, including the Deep South. But this is a very special winter ski season coming up. For after the first of the year, this country's top skiers and the best from the rest of the world will gather in the French Alps for the 1968 Winter Olympic Games. The French are excited about the Games because they have the best alpine skiers in the world. Jean-Claude Killy won every medal in sight last season, and the Guatchel sisters, gold medalists from 1964, are still to be reckoned with. There may be an individual, such as Canada's Nancy Green, who will challenge for a gold medal, but the depth and the talent of the French alpine ski team is nearly overwhelming. That same kind of talent used to represent Austria, but for now, France has the edge. It's common knowledge that while the United States has excellent ski slopes and young and talented skiers in increasing numbers, this country has never won a gold medal in men's alpine skiing. Billy Kidd and Jimmy Huger finished second and third in the slalom in Innsbruck on the final day of the 1964 Olympic Games, and that was a real breakthrough. But now, 4 years later, there is no guarantee that the United States team, training harder than ever before, will do any better than ever before. But Coach Bob Beatty thinks and hopes so. There is one guarantee for this ski-mad world, and that is the French are being very French. They are about to stage a spectacular Winter Olympics, and for those who are privileged to witness them in February of next year, it will set them to dreaming over their hot buttered rums for many winters. The opening ceremonies will be on February the 6th in Grenoble. Three of France's best military bands will play for the 10,000 people who will participate, including hundreds of men from military alpine divisions, ski instructors, and children. Lots of children. There are over 20,000 school children between the ages of 6 to 15 in Grenoble, and for them, there will be no school throughout the Olympic Games. Instead, they'll be dolled up in traditional French dress, dancing, partying, and entertaining the visitors who will flock to Grenoble in February, transforming that quiet industrial city into one great big après-ski party. And as a result, 1 year from now, the ski shows, ski shops, and ski resorts will be even more crowded than they are now. And more people will be freezing and falling and sipping on icy slopes than ever before and wondering why they never tried it before. This is Jim Simpson speaking from Out of the Sports.
And now a word about State Farm.
This is Al Capp for State Farm Mutual. Do you realize that people under 25 have taken over the growing of 90% of all the hair in the United States? And they're taking over on our highways, too, so it's time for the rest of us to start a mass takeover of our own. If we haven't already, we'd better take our cars over to the nearest State Farm agent and get them protected by the biggest car insurance company on the road.
For complete colorful sports coverage every weekend, stay with Monitor. This from Chesterfield.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101,
a silly millimeter longer.
101,
a silly millimeter longer. Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
You're tuned to Monitor 67, your weekend information and entertainment center covering the USA from border to border, coast to coast. In Gainesville, Florida, our friends hear us on WRUF. Hello, Gainesville. Now roll call time for our NBC stations all down the line. Then more of Monitor. I'm Ed McMahon.
Senator Mike Mansfield, Majority Leader of the United States Senate, will meet the press tomorrow on the NBC radio network.
Say, Mom, it's eating time again. But why bother preparing the food? Make eating time a pleasure time. Go to Wetson's Hamburger Drive-In Restaurant. At Wetson's, each member of the family can select either a quick, nourishing snack or a complete, delicious meal. Whatever your choice is, you're sure to enjoy those palate-pleasing 100% all-beef hamburgers or Wetzel's succulent southern fried chicken, crisp and tender with golden brown french fries at only 69 cents. For a refreshing thirst quencher, ask for a Wetzel's creamy thick shake in your favorite flavor, 25 cents. For hearty eaters, there's a double cheeseburger at only 45 cents. And for dessert, a Wetzel's treat, hot apple pie, only 15 cents. Anytime, any day or night, that you're ready for real eating pleasure, refresh yourself at Wetzel's Hamburg Drive-In Restaurants. In Pine Brook, New Jersey, there's a Wetzel's on Route 46 at the Hook Mountain Road traffic light. In Levittown, Long Island, a Wetzel's is located at 3946 Hempstead Turnpike. For the Wetzel's nearest you, check the phone book. WNBC AM, New York.
Next, the blades of grass, just another face.
Violets, shimmering soft, hypnotic sound. Socialize, so very bright, so blue white eyes.
Monitor 67, information and entertainment to enjoy at home or take along when you're on the go. Just ahead, actor Paul Ford will compare the problems of playing a stage father with being the real thing. First, let's hear Percy Faith and the orchestra with Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. We've had a minor revolution at our house. It's in the bathroom. I went to wash my hair the other day, and gone were all those old shampoo bottles, and in their place, just one plastic tube. Alice, that's my wife, said from now on, this was it, a one-family shampoo. And you know, it's a good idea. It's a concentrate shampoo made by the Breck people to be an all-family shampoo. Now, being concentrated, just a little makes plenty of lather. It's great for cleaning up a load of kids like ours. And again, being concentrated, one tube goes a long way, so you're never forever running out. Now, because it's Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all that stuff. It even suits baby fine hair like my older daughter Claudia's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the little ones breaking it. So when they asked me to talk about Breck Concentrate, I was really pleased, because the whole McMahon family has checked it out, and it's good stuff. Paul Ford, who has been described as having the face of a pessimistic bloodhound, is one of the funniest actors in the business. But he has a serious side, as he'll demonstrate in 1 minute, as the guest of Bess Meyerson, brought to you by Antron Nylon, by DuPont, and by Callaway Carpets.
This is Bess Meyerson. Let's find out how educated your ears are. Can they see a field of bamboo? Try it. Uh-huh. You're better than you thought. Now, how about getting your ears to feel? Feel the warmth and softness of a carpet with Antron Nylon by DuPont. Your ears have just seen and felt Mikado, the new Callaway carpet on a bamboo theme. It has the look, but bamboo was never like this, because DuPont modifies Antron Nylon to resist soil. It actually minimizes soil reflection. Step right up now, and don't step carefully, because Mikado carpets by Callaway look new longer. Down on your heels, up on your toes, really grind in the dirt, as long as you're on Callaway's Mikado carpet made of Antron Nylon by DuPont. Don't believe your ears. See Callaway Mikado at your dealers. Paul Ford is a fond father who faces the problem of coping with his college-age hippie son. Since Paul faces this situation on Broadway in a comedy called What Did We Do Wrong, he triumphs in the end. Paul, you deal successfully with the generation gap, on stage at least, but most parents in real life find the prospect of a hippie son or daughter frightening rather than funny. Would you?
Well, yes, I think I would. You see, hippie is not an accurate representation of my son on stage, even. It's a kind of a generalization. Actually, my son is a protester, but he has a beard, and I guess a little extra length hair, that kind of the aspect, yes.
Well, how do you cope with the problem? How do you solve the problem on the stage?
Well, I may be giving away secrets, but actually what I do is just become one myself.
You do?
I say, well, I'm going to be a hippie, and I get myself some long hair and some dirty clothes and stuff like that. And then I even go in for beads and whatnot and go carry signs and go around protesting. But I, instead of protesting the older generation, I protest the younger generation. And I ask for the rights of parents, you know.
Did you do any personal research on young people before you assumed the role?
Well, yes, I did. And I did a bit of reading on it, too, you know, in magazines and articles that I would come across. And, of course, I happen to live down in the village, you know, so I get a lot of firsthand information there as far as behavior and address are concerned.
And do they communicate to you, Paul? Do they tell you what their ideas are and why they are there?
Yes, somewhat, yes. But they have a kind of lingo of their own, and it took a little while for me to master it, you see. It's another foreign language, you see.
What sort of words? Like what?
Oh, you know, groovy and do my thing and you do your thing.
Your own children, how many are there?
Well, I have four.
Four?
No.
They didn't quite grow up in this kind of atmosphere. They grew up during the Depression.
That's right, in a different era.
Yeah. Did you experience any generation gap while you were raising them?
Well, I think there is always a generation gap, you know, and I think that that's quite understandable. Every generation has the same sort of thing, and though we may not have had hippies per se as they have today, but they did have protests and protesters. I think they have them in every age. My attitude has always been not to to bring my children up, you know, as the words express themselves, but to help them grow themselves, you know, which
good.
I think is a better attitude, because especially it's much easier too when you do have a number, you know, when you have four children. They are friendly themselves, and they're all near the same age, you know, just a few years between the whole four. They grow
and they
of
help
themselves, you
yes.
know, quite well, and if they have precepts to follow, naturally that helps.
Well, now, in your play, What Did We Do Wrong? How does it finally come out? Does authority, parental authority, finally triumph?
I do make my son decide to go back to college and apologize to the dean, whom he put in traction.
Charming.
and it kind of come along with what I thought about his action and walk a straighter line, you know.
Well, I'd say that you were a triumphant father, on stage and certainly off stage. Thank you very much, Paul, for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. My guest has been actor Paul Ford, and this is Bess Meyerson for Monitor. In case you missed my little intelligence test for ears a minute ago, let's try again. Get your ears to look at a field of bamboo. Got it? Good. Now the feel of Antron Nylon by DuPont. At this point, your ears should be telling you we're talking about Mikado, the exciting new carpet from Callaway. It looks new longer because DuPont modifies Antron to minimize soil reflection. You'll believe it best when you see it at your dealers. Mikado by Callaway.
Bess Meyerson has been brought to you by Antron Nylon by DuPont and by Callaway Carpets. At 15 minutes before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
You think you're all set for a real swing in career? Well, your career can slow down to a real nothing real quick if you start off with a too small education. A too small education limits you to the small paying jobs, the jobs that don't go anywhere. Today, to get a good job, you really need a good education. A good education opens the door to better jobs, better pay, and a better chance to enjoy the good things in life. So if you're in school now, stay there. Learn all you can for as long as you can. If you're out of school, you can still get plenty of valuable training outside the classroom. Just see the youth counselor at your state employment service or visit a youth opportunity center. But get going now. Get a good job. Get a good education.
The Conversation Station, WNBC AM, New York.
Ed McMahon for Monitor 67 with nationwide coverage of news and sports. And now a look at the nationwide weather. Today, precipitation was confined to the northern sections of the country, with showers over the Pacific Northwest. Snow flurries over the Rockies, the Great Lakes region, and parts of New England. Tomorrow's prediction, snow flurries in the northern plains, upper Mississippi Valley, and central plateau. And remember, no matter what weather tomorrow brings, it'll come 1 hour later. So don't forget to turn your clock back tonight.
Are you one who likes to see and feel fine and useful products that show real creative engineering? Well, this is your invitation to examine the broadly patented ANCO Anti-Wind Lift Windshield Wiper Blade. See the exclusive airfoil that holds the wiper snug on the windshield, even at turnpike speeds. Note ANCO's superior quality and uniform precision, quite obvious when compared. And when you see the ANCO anti-windlift blade in action on your own car, you really appreciate the great strides the Anderson Company of Gary, Indiana, has made toward greater traffic security for you and yours. You can examine a pair of Anco anti-windlift wiper blades wherever you see the big, bright yellow Anco windshield wiper replacement service cabinet. Watch for it. Your Anco dealer's trained serviceman can quick fit your car with the correct pair of Anco anti-windlift blades or refills in seconds. It's a good place to buy gas, too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Strong. What a wonderful world. And it is, too, when you hear the one and only Louie sing about it.
101. The new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101. It's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Dodge. One look, one drive, and you've got Dodge fever. Here's Joe.
The Charlotte 500 stock car race turned out to be all Dodge. Dodges finished first and second and swept six of the first 10 places. Buddy Baker in a Dodge Charger came in first. Bobby Isaac in a Dodge Charger second. And other Dodges finished fourth, sixth, eighth, and ninth. This performance by Dodge's driving team is all the more remarkable when you consider that the Charlotte 500 was billed as the toughest stock car race of the year. Many of the top drivers in the country took part. Of course, the Chargers that finished first and second, and all the other Dodges in Charlotte, were specially prepared and equipped for NASCAR races. You can't buy a Dodge exactly like the ones that raced at Charlotte, but the cars you can see and drive at your Dodge dealers right now have the same engineering excellence. So stop in and look over the 68 Dodge lineup today. One of the great enthusiasms in this country is the one that high school kids work up for the guys who play on school teams. They come home and tell their fathers about how great Johnny Jones is. Now, unfortunately, very often Daddy will say, "You think he's something special? Well, you should have seen some of the guys who played on the teams when I was in high school." Well, that's okay. Daddy is entitled to pop off a little, too. But I've got to say that today's youngsters do have some pretty impressive schoolmates. Here's an example. Lou Kornacek is the basketball coach at St. John's University. Recently, he was asked about a player, and Lou said, "He's the best pivot man in the nation. He's big, strong, and has all the moves." Now, Lou wasn't talking about one of the players on his team. He was talking about a high school boy. The boy's name is Tom Riker. He's 6'10" tall and goes to St. Dominic's High School in Oyster Bay, Long Island. And if you think he gives opposing players a headache, that's nothing compared to what he does to coaches of colleges all over the East. They remember only too well that they all wanted a boy from New York City a couple of years ago, but he chose to go to UCLA. His name is Lou Elsinore, and they're hoping that Tom Riker doesn't decide to move across the country, too. Speaking of the Pacific Coast, I'd like to talk for a moment about the football team at Santa Barbara High School in California. I don't really want to talk about the whole team, just the front four players on the defensive line. And if you're being nagged to lose some weight, you might enjoy this. At left guard is Al Reginato, who weighs 230 pounds. And he's the lightest member of the front four. Maybe I should stop right here and say, yes, you're right. I did say that this was a high school team that I was talking about. Now, at right tackle is 16-year-old Cyril Gavin. At 16, he's still a growing boy, but I guess you could say that he's growing pretty fast, since the scales show that he weighs 260. Well, that's enough for the smaller men. At left tackle is Dan Herring, who's only 15. I can just imagine some of those youngsters who play against him. They could sit on the line and look up at a 15-year-old youngster who weighs in at 314 pounds. They can't wait to get back to the huddle and tell the other fellas. But somebody in that huddle is going to come up with a better story. And that would be the guy who plays opposite right guard Bob Pointer. Bob is 18, and although he's an outstanding football player, he might find that the colleges come at him a little slowly. They'd like to have him playing for them, all right, but they're probably a little worried about feeding him. You see, Bob Pointer weighs 447 pounds. This high school front four averages 313 pounds. Kids from the other schools are probably looking forward to going to college where they can play against guys their own size. Speaking to the other kids, Bob Pointer says, "Most teams run their opening play right at me to see what kind of player I am. And then they change their offense." You know something, Bob? I'm sure they do. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this for the associates. You know, in sports, the real pros are the guys who can get the job done when the going gets tough. And the same thing applies in business. So if you're having tough going financially, see the real pros, the associates. Chances are the associates can arrange a loan for you. When you need money for any good purpose, look in the yellow pages for an associate's office. Associates Finance Company. Nice people with money to loan you.
The lively, colorful sports reporting of Joe Garagiola is heard every weekend on Monitor. Next, the Flugel Knights with Horn Dewey. very seldom hear popular music played on flugelhorns, but that group does it very well. In case you've forgotten what a flugelhorn looks like, it's sort of a pre-shrunk tuba.
Hi, Bill Stern. Imagine a sweepstakes with a first prize that's 100 yards long. Actually, it's a lot of prizes all in one. 100 yards of prizes, like a 1968 Pontiac Firebird and an Autumn Haze Mink Stole and a Black & Decker Power Workshop. There are 2,500 other prizes to win. You don't have to buy a thing. Just pick up your free entry blank where they sell DuPont Xerox antifreeze. Sweepstakes void where prohibited by law.
This is Monitor 67. I'm Ed McMahon, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is just ahead.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. On NBC.
Darling, your eyes shine like Chateau Martin sparkling champagne. Your touch is like the velvety smoothness of Chateau Martin vermouth, and your ruby red lips are like the richness of Chateau Martin blackberry wine. Let us toast our future with a glass of Chateau Martin.
I'll bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
And they love it.
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin blackberry wine, bursting with the flavor of fresh crushed blackberries, mellowed to perfection in 100-year-old oak casks. Its just right sweetness is perfect before dinner, after dinner, even during dinner. So the next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin blackberry wine. And she'll love it.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York. Had any lately?
Wayne Howell stands in for Sterling Yates on Fortune Phone. Weekdays at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on the Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.